It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Shearn. We'll be hearing from our co-host slash producer slash the godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Auriemma, in just a second. We'll just call him Slash. See him in the next segment. He's like our Cordell Stewart. We'll get into that later. Wasn't here last week, and here's why. Had a tooth pulled. I don't really recommend not taking care of your teeth. I do, but I think genetically, thanks mom and dad, I have awful teeth. And this one had root canal, and I don't want to, you know, get into the gory details. It's gone. I do recommend one thing, though. If you have an infant, invite your dentist over to put you to sleep at night with the stuff he put me to sleep with to take the tooth out. That was really good. But we start this Off the Wall podcast the way we do every week since we've started, by talking about, drum roll please, your first place New York Yankees. Yep, still there, alive and kicking atop the AL East. The best record in Major League Baseball. Best record. Not to toot our own horn here on the Off the Wall podcast, but as I said in Off the Wall podcasts of the past, the day we taped our first podcast was the first day the Yankees were in first place, and they haven't left since that day. So we'll get into the brawl a little bit against the Blue Jays. Joe and I will talk about that. There's a lot of things going back and forth on Jorge Posada. Was he in the right for doing what he did? Should he have done what he did? Should Carlson have thrown at Posada the way he did? There's a lot to talk about with that. Joe and I will break that down. I can get into it now, but I'm going to make you wait till the second segment. We'll talk about the Jets. Yes, football has started. Great start for Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan and this New York Jet football team. And it can get even better with a win in week two. We'll discuss that. The Giants. There were some question marks about the Giants. One of them was answered. A couple more still remain questions. Joe and I will break that down as well. Some quick hits before we take a break. Serena Williams, really quick, she apologized, you know, a couple of times. The first one wasn't really good enough for me. She went on a morning show, though. She apologized again. It was a little bit more heartfelt. You know what? In the heat of the moment, just like Jorge Posada did in the Yankee game last night, you're talking about match point in a championship tennis match. When something like that is called, you're going to lose it. Now, what she did wasn't right. But I could see, being a competitor and being an athlete, in that situation, you could blow up. She said she was sorry. Let's move on. There was an article in the Daily News today, or the Post, I forget where I saw it, that says she should be banned from the U.S. Open next year. Give me a break. Give me a break. Let he who hath not blown up at somebody cast the first stone. And finally, before we take a break, Kanye West and what he did on the VMAs. This has nothing to do with sports, but I had to say it because I've been waiting to vent about this, you know, since it happened. I don't care how many times he apologizes. He's an idiot. Our president of the United States called him a jackass. That's all you have to know about that. All right, Joe Auriemma joins me when we come back. A lot to talk about, as I just mentioned here on the Off the Wall podcast. Missed a week last week. We're back this week. Glad you're back with us. We're back right after this.
Go to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
This is the true story
about two baseball teams playing in a big stadium in New York City.
With roster call-ups, both teams total about 80 guys.
80 people competing in one stadium.
This is the true story
about when baseball teams stop getting along
and start getting real.
The real world, the Bronx.
The real world, the Bronx, indeed. Joining me now to talk about the Bronx Bombers turning into the Bronx Brawlers, Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, also the co-host and producer of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joey, welcome to the program.
Always a pleasure to be here, Chris.
All right, now let's talk about this fight last night. Before we even get to Posada, because I know there's some differing views on how Posada reacted to everything that happened.
Right.
But before we even get to that, we have to set up what happened in the game leading up to Posada's incident.
Right.
Now, Sergio Mitre in the game, pitching well, but then, implodes. He gives up four home runs. He ends up plunking Edwin Encarnacion. That's the first salvo
right.
in what the bad blood started to happen. Then the blood, I guess, started to boil in the top of the eighth. Mark Melancon, who, by the way, has had control problems this year. In 16 innings, he's hit four guys.
That's one thing that's been, a knock on Mark Melancon is that when he's in the minors, his control is fine. When he's up here, he does have control.
Maybe he tries to geek it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the pitch he hit Aaron Hill with, it looked like a tailing fastball. It got away from him. It seems like every time the guy tries to geek up a fastball, he loses control of it. He wants to try to amp it up a bit, and it drilled Aaron Hill in the back. Now,
right.
If I'm the Blue Jays, that's your all-star second baseman, Encarnacion just got hit, I could see Jesse Carlson wanting to do something to retaliate, to stick up for his team. Because you know what? The Yankees know this better than anybody. Over the years, especially when Joe Torre was here, the Yankees got hit a lot and didn't respond, ever.
Just look at Derek Jeter, how many times he got hit over the years by the Red Sox.
We could talk about Jeter
else.
And Soriano both going to the hospital because
by
of Pedro Martinez,
yeah.
And nobody on the Red Sox even tasted dirt. So, this is something the Yankees and their fans know all too well. So, having said that, this is what I don't have a problem with. I don't have a problem with Carlson drilling Posada, maybe in the rear end.
In the hiney, yeah.
Nowhere near the head. Just hit him. It's baseball. Be done with it.
Right.
Here's the problem I had. Carlson, you could watch the replay as much as you want, but, he cocked back with that arm like he was going to fire the ball, not and hit Posada, but throw the ball through
him. Posada, yes. I agree with that as well, Chris.
Okay. Now, this is not Jorge Posada's fault. Now, is he the next batter that came up in the inning? Yes. Is he the guy that is most likely to get hit? Go ask Tino Martinez, because back in the day, he seemed to be the guy. My family and I always used to joke around because, who's up? Oh, it's Tino. He's getting drilled. He was the one that always got hit. But you know what? Tino took it. He wasn't jolly about it. Tino was mad. You could see, me again. But he took it. He went to first.
Well,
but
except in the game against Baltimore.
When the whole world
Armando
came.
Benitez, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you take your lumps. You
right.
go to first base. This is my feeling on Jorge and what he did. His initial reaction to react the way he did and say, don't do that. You don't want to do that. I can understand that. He had to know going up there that something was going to happen. But to see a guy like Carlson do what he did and with the intent that he had and how fast that pitch came in, it made a dent in the back wall.
Yeah, no, I know.
If that hits, if Carlson doesn't throw the ball behind him and drills him in the ribs,
that could do some serious damage.
Posada's done.
He could have a Donovan McNabb situation. Broken rib, broken leg. You're right.
And don't tell me If you're a Major League Baseball player in that situation, when you're staring the playoffs down in like 2.5 weeks, and that pitch rifles in at about 94, 95, you're not going to react like that?
Especially with the competitive spirit of these players and how competitive Posada is.
Give me a break.
Right.
I was watching baseball tonight. I don't even want to give these guys any credit. And Carl Ravitch almost had me throwing up all over the couch. Throwing up. Because he's bashing Posada for what he did. Then Kruk has to chime in. The Boston Red Sox regional network is not NESN. It's ESPN. Give me a freaking break. I will give Peter Gammons a little credit. He stuck up for Posada. But the other two, I have an issue with. I have no problem with the way Posada acted after the pitch went. Now, here's the other thing. And John Flaherty broke this down. He was the first one to say it on our Gamecast. John Flaherty, a former catcher, noticed Carlson, after Gardner got the hit, Cadillac'd it to go back up home on a throw from right. On a throw from right field, Carlson should have been on the third base side of home plate. He Cadillac'd it and stopped right where Posada was crossing the plate. If he sprinted to his spot, I know he's upset because he just gave up a hit. You're up by 6 runs at that point. Go back up home the way you're supposed to. He stopped right where Posada was going to cross home and go to the dugout. Now, Jorge did what any of us would do. He's still ticked because that pitch could have done some real damage. He knows why it was done. Don't get me wrong. And you could disagree with me.
No, okay.
I think Posada knew it was coming. And I think he knows deep down that, hey, it had to happen because that's how things get solved in baseball. But not the way Carlson went about it. And people could sit there and say, well, he's on the Yes Network and he's a Yankee apologist. Wrong. I call it like I see it. And John Flaherty, big props and kudos to him for getting on Carlson's case for stopping right there. And Posada did something that I would have done. Because if that would have happened to me and I crossed the plate and he was standing there and I thought he might have done something to me, I would have put my hand up too.
All I'm going to say, Chris, is that at this point in the season, like you said, Posada knew it was coming. Carlson, you know, look, he was in the wrong. He's absolutely in the wrong for the way he threw the ball, the way he cocked back, how hard he threw the ball. And yes, Carlson, again, was wrong at where he was standing because he should have been on the third base side. Yeah, I completely agree with all that. At this point in the season, Jorge Posada, we saw what the team was like without Jorge Posada in 2008. We saw what it was like. The Yankees are a much better team with Jorge Posada in the lineup.
Say what you want about his, you know, defensive woes sometimes and how, like, there's rumors circulating that pitchers don't want to throw to him. But as Joey just said, this team loses a huge dynamic when Jorge Posada is not in that lineup.
Now, Jorge Posada, I complete in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, we've all been there, we've all played competitive sports, we know that, you know what, I would have been as ticked off.
Sometimes you lose it.
You lose it. But also, at that point, we're like you said, we're a handful of games away from the postseason. All I'm saying is at that point, you have to think. I know you don't think sometimes because in the heat of the moment, you don't. But in that moment, in that instance, you need to think about the greater good. And the greater good,
bigger picture,
the bigger picture at this point is that the Yankees are going to the postseason and the Toronto Blue Jays are going home. The Yankees need all of their chips in place, and if Jorge Posada gets injured in that melee, the Yankees are not going to win squat.
Joey, I think we're both right, and I think no one could have said it better right there. I mean, seriously, in the heat of the moment, you do certain things you probably shouldn't do, and at that point, you're absolutely right. Posada should have just, you know,
taking the high road.
But it's tough
again,
when someone's jawing at you who just threw a pitch that could have ended your season.
No, ended your season. I agree.
And he's
with
sitting
that.
There and he's, you know, pontificating and posturing himself in front of your hometown fans and in front of your bench, in front of your dugout. It was going to happen. Now, was it stupid? Yes. I'm not going to disagree with the fact that it was stupid. But like you said, And like I said, in the heat of the battle, when somebody's in your face and that somebody almost threw a pitch through your rib cage, you're going to act like Posada acted. Now, let's move on.
Okay. We both have basically similar
it's
opinions.
It's the same opinion. It's just... And we both right. agree with each other. We're okay. not disagreeing at all.
You're right.
Which would be better for the podcast, but we'll move on.
Right.
We're not going to disagree just for the sake of disagreeing.
No, I mean we both have a similar viewpoint.
Right. We both played competitive sports on our way up through the ranks, and we both know what it's like. Not at the major league level, of course, but it's the same thing throughout your sporting life. If you're competitive and you want to win and someone tries to hurt you, I don't care what the baseball rules or the baseball laws say or what any kind of sport law says. You, at one point or another, might lose it and might do something stupid.
Right. And that's the bottom line. That's sports.
All right. Now, moving on. The Red Sox aren't going away. All right. They're hanging around. Now, it's not impossible for them to come back and win this division. So don't think the division is locked up. The magic number is almost into the single digits for the Yankees. At this point, they have 3 games left with the Red Sox.
It's 12 to win the division, and it's 7 to clinch a postseason
right.
spot.
They have 3 games left with the Red Sox. If they win those 3 games, if they sweep the Sox in that series, they'll cut their magic number in half if they do that, because the number will go down by 6. I think it's going to be late September when the Yankees clinch, because Boston is playing tremendous baseball. Daisuke Matsuzaka just came back. His start against the Angels was, in a word, Jim Rome, phenomenal. It was tremendous. I mean, the guy came back. Of course, you know, when you're on a DL for 3 months and you're just rehabbing and you're resting from the dead arm from the WBC, you better come back and you better look like your lights out.
Yeah.
And he was. 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, I think 5 hits. It was a great, no runs, 6 innings. It's exactly what the doctor ordered
typical,
for the Red Sox.
Typical Dice K outing.
And the Red Sox get Dice K back, and the Yankees are skipping Andy Pettit for shoulder fatigue. Now, I think reading between the lines, maybe Joe Girardi wants to set up his rotation for the end of the season, maybe. Maybe they're giving Pettit just a breather because they have a 6.5 game lead. This is what I'm hoping it is.
Yeah.
Because if it indeed is fatigue, he was fatigued last year, and we saw the August he had last year, and we saw the stretch run for him last year.
No, it was not good.
He was not good. And you need Andy Pettit to be pitching the way he was pitching lately because of A.J. Burnett. You don't know what you're going to get with A.J. Burnett. He's like a box of chocolates. You just don't know what you're going to get every time he goes out on the mound. One time it's nougat, the next time, you know, it's coconut, which is awful.
And here's, this has been my problem with A.J. Burnett. And I, you know, look, I don't like to take shots at anybody, but you know what? I'm going to take a shot right here. And the bottom line is, A.J. Burnett, the way he's pitching, yes, he's had some good outings. He's had some no decisions in those good outings. But the attitude that I don't like to hear is in a post-game interview or post-game press conference, A.J. Burnett seems to think in his own mind that he's only making one mistake per game that's getting him in this trouble. The game that he gives up the 6 runs, he actually said, and I've heard this numerous times now out of A.J. Burnett.
One mistake to Brian Roberts.
And you know what? You made one mistake to Nolan Reimold. You made several mistakes to load the bases. So you know what? You didn't make one mistake. I'm sick of these pitchers saying that they only made one mistake. Own up to the fact that you gave up a 6-run inning, and that's that. You need to come to grips with the fact that you're not pitching well right now. And you need to correct that before the postseason gets here. Because if you don't correct it, you know what? The Yankees are in a heap of trouble. They need A.J. Burnett to pitch well for the postseason. They still have the best lineup. They still have scored the most runs in the majors. And you know what? The pitching staff is pretty darn good when they're clicking on all cylinders.
I'll end the segment with this. You can be best this and best that in April, May, June, July, August, and September. If you're not the best in October, see you later.
Yep.
And that's what the Yankees have to concern themselves with. When we come back, it's week one of the NFL season. We'll go through the Jets, go through the Giants week one, and get you ready for week two. That's next on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-4800. 888-463-6668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joe Auriemma and myself, Chris Sheeran, talking football now. And we're going to start with the New York Jets. A very solid week one for Gangrene as Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan debut and make everybody in Gangrene land very happy, spanking the Houston Texans.
Who were picked to be come in first place at the end of the season by SI.
Now, you can't really take a lot of things from week one. The Giants were 0-2 a couple years back, if you remember. Their defense gave up like 80 points. They were surrendering like 40 points a game, and then they went to win the Super Bowl. So you can't get too high or too low after 1 week in pro football. But if you're the New York Jets and you're New York Jet fans, I take a lot of pride and a lot of positivity out of week one. The only negative thing I could see happening for Jet fans is that win, the bar gets raised a little higher, expectations are greater, and Joey, in week two, if the Jets are able to beat the Patriots at home and move to 2-0, those expectations and that bar are in the clouds.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans will be absolutely on cloud nine. And here's my advice to Jet fans. Seriously, with this team this year, expect nothing. You have a rookie quarterback. We've talked about this. Before the preseason even started, when Sanchez was brought on board and we were started talking about football, we both said that this was going to be an exciting football season in New York. Even if the Jets went 6-10, you have the franchise. You have number six, who is your guy. You don't have to worry about Brett Favre or any of that nonsense at quarterback. Chad Pennington is history. He wasn't going to be your franchise quarterback anyway. And you got the Jets, who just utterly destroyed the Texans in every aspect of the game. The only points the Texans got were on a returned interception and a fumble to make it 24-7. But I think great things are ahead for this Jets football.
I got a couple observations about this game, really, on the Jets side of things. One is that Rex Ryan has this team believing that they can go into somebody's house and win a big week one game against a high-powered offense that did absolutely nothing. Darrell Revis is the real deal. That guy can cover anybody in the league. He is probably a top-five corner in the league at this point because you didn't hear anything about Andre Johnson. Bart Scott was a heck of a pickup. This guy is a beast. Is a beast. And my other observation is that the offensive line is the perfect offensive line for a rookie quarterback because they are giving him enough time. He's confident enough to step up in the pocket. And let me tell you something. He shows some clutch abilities. This guy on third down looked very good. I'm not anointing him as a unbelievable quarterback, but there are things to work with Mark Sanchez. And again, the running game is great. You know, you have Leon Washington and Thomas Jones. Positive things out of Jetland.
Everywhere. But the thing they, you know, the Jets, well, not really the Jets because they're doing their thing, but Jet fans over the years have been teased a lot with teams. And you know, I have a lot of Jet fan friends, and I don't want them to get teased again or, you know, fall into the trap of, oh, we got a big win week one, and, you know, we got the Pats in week two. We're going to stomp them at home. Relax. So the Jets, a lot of positives. Jet fans, your glass should be half full all season long. You've got nothing to lose. You've got much to gain. The Giants, preseason question marks, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason question mark, putting teams away.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason question mark, red zone inability. Well, one of these question marks was answered, and that was the wide receivers. They played
inspired.
They played a great game.
Yes.
They played a great game. They dropped a couple of passes, but for the most part, they kept the Giants in the game. Eli Manning and the receivers picked the Redskins' defense apart. They couldn't run for anything. The Redskins had the number four defense in all the land last year. So the fact, you know, they added Albert Haynesworth to the fray. The fact that they couldn't run with Jacobs and Bradshaw wasn't really surprising. So Eli had to pick them apart. He did. OCU Manure and the defense, obviously, and of course, did a tremendous job because that's what you come to expect out of Big Blue's defense. I just think the other two question marks that I had for this team, which is putting a team away, which in my lifetime, I've never seen a Giants team do it except the NFC Championship game against Minnesota when, you know, the Vikings were basically handing
them
touchdowns.
Which was a
shot, yes. But Joe Callow and I, who has a podcast with Ross Tucker on YesNetwork.com, it's a New York...
Football NYC.
Football NYC. And he does that with Ross Tucker, who's also on This Week in Football on the YES Network. I was just talking to him earlier, and he said, you know, Shern, which is what he calls me, he said, yeah, he mispronounces my name, but that's okay, because that's Joe C. But, and you should check out their podcast, because it's very entertaining and very knowledgeable. And Joe C. says to me, you know, I've been watching the Giants my whole life, Chris, or Shern, and they just can't seem to put a team away, and it always seems that the game is out of hand mid-third quarter, early fourth quarter, but then it always seems with 2 minutes left in the fourth, there's an onside kick that the Giants have to recover.
Yeah, it's always been like that.
And the red zone problems, that's another thing that worries me. They get there, and they can't score. Running Lawrence Tynes out there is not going to be a winning formula when you play the Cowboys.
I'll tell you this.
In week two.
Chris, you know what?
I don't care how good your defense is.
You brought up the wide receivers, and I like Steve Smith, and I like Mario Manningham. But you know what? I think for the red zone troubles that they're having, you know, look, the running game is going to get better. We know the running game is going to get better. We know Brandon Jacobs on third and short is going to get better. We know that, you know, these issues are going to get better. Ahmad Bradshaw needs to be like Darren, like they used Darren Sproles in San Diego. I don't know if you watched all of the Chargers.
Not all of it. I watched most
of it. At the end of the game, when they needed a big third down and 12, when they needed anything in the red zone, they went to Darren Sproles. And I see Ahmad Bradshaw like that Darren Sproles type of player, where they can use him on play action, you know, check down. If there's nobody open, you go to Sproles, and he makes something happen. And that's the type of player I think Bradshaw is. And I think that's the type of player that Kevin Boss can be, too. If receivers aren't open, check down, go to the tight end. I think Eli and the team need to work on getting the ball to the tight end and getting the ball into Bradshaw's hand.
Well, it's definitely going to be a work in progress, but I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but I'm going to bring up the line from Untouchables from Sean Connery. If you try to get into a field goal contest with the Cowboys, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yes.
You're going to lose.
Yes.
Even though Connery lost in Untouchables. But
I still think this team is going to win the division. I still think they're going to have a deep run. Their defense proved to be very good. Everybody keeps forgetting that, you know, Boley is coming back, and that's, you know, they love this guy. He was the first guy they went out and signed.
The defense is going to be, is great.
And I think that the Giants, last year they played a lackluster game in week one against the Redskins, and they proved that the offense started clicking on all cylinders. I think we need to give the offense more than 1 week, and I think that it's going to be a good team.
Well, the Cowboys' defense might be a little suspect.
Yes.
Cadillac Williams did, you know, rush for close to 100 yards against them, but the Cowboys still won that game 34-20. And you can't sit there and tell me they're opening that brand-new stadium.
They're going to be motivated.
Don't tell me that the Cowboys' defense is going to lay down for Brandon Jacobs
and
Ahmad Bradshaw and Eli Manning. Eli Manning's going to have his hands full. That crowd, which is going to be close to 100,000, okay, that's one thing. He's not going to be able to hear anything. Plus, they're going to send the house almost every play. Every play they're going to send the house. Can the Giants burn them on a play? Absolutely. But the Giants, you know, all these Giant fans that I'm listening to, they got their chest out. They're going to go into Dallas. They're going to get two big division wins. They're going to be 2-0. And then, you know, the next two games are against the Chiefs in Tampa Bay. We're going to be 4-0. Don't sleep.
You've got to take it 1 week at a time.
Don't sleep on the Dallas Cowboys, because when you sleep on the Cowboys, that's when you have a nightmare.
I agree.
And having said that, let's do a little football picks for next week, Joe.
All right, let's do it.
That's how we'll end the show this
time. Okay, let's do it.
So let's just do the locals. So we have the Jets.
How about we do not only the locals, but a game of your choice.
A best bet, if you will.
Exactly.
All right, so we have the Jets hosting the Patriots. It's the home opener for Gangrene. Joe, who do you like?
I like the direction in which this Jet team is going, but I'm going to take the Patriots. And when it comes down to it, I still think the Patriots are the Patriots. The Jets are going to be at that level, I feel, within a year or two, but they are not at that level right now. I think it's the Patriots.
Rex Ryan came to New York and said, "I'm not here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings." That was a very bold statement. His team has rallied behind him. after making that statement. And I think this team is so far behind Ryan, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm picking the Jets.
No, it's not a bad pick.
It's their home opener. They've got a lot of juice coming out of that game against the Texans. I know, you know, the Patriots didn't win the game on Monday the way they may have wanted to win it. Their fans, you know, the heads were down, and the shots of Patriot fans in the stands on ESPN Monday night when they were losing were priceless.
Yeah.
In fact, I saved the game on my DVR just so I could see Boston fans with their heads down. Moving on to the Giants Sunday night in Dallas. Well, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm picking the Cowboys. I mean, I don't want to. I'm a Giant fan. I know that's, you know, to Giant fans out there, that's patently ridiculous. But I think to sleep on the Cowboys opening their new stadium, with the game that Tony Romo had last week, there's no more T.O., there's no more Jessica Simpson. He's now focused on football again. He's got Roy Williams, who had a tremendous game last week. Marion Barber went off last week. And don't tell me about the defense and how Tampa Bay ran all over them. They're opening their new stadium. They're going to be amped up. They're going to have 90 to 100,000 strong in that place. It's not going to be easy. It'll be close, but the Cowboys are going to win.
I think the Giants are going to play spoiler to the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're going to go in there. I think Tampa is extremely, extremely overrated. And I think they beat a not-so-good Tampa team that I think is going to win 5-6 games this year. I just feel like the Giants are going to control the tempo. The run game is going to really, you know, come to the forefront this week. They're going to show the league why they were the number one rushing team in the league. They're going to control the tempo of that game, and I think the Giants are going to win.
We will find out Sunday night if the Giants come through. We'll find out Sunday afternoon if the Jets will come through against the Patriots.
Do you have another game you
just
like?
Just one really quick.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you the game that I really like. One game that I really like is Eagles-Saints. It's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles play without Donovan McNabb. The questions with Jeff Garcia coming in. Is Cobb the quarterback this week? I'm pretty sure he's going to be starting.
But if he's ineffective, he's going to come out. And you know Garcia knows that offense.
And not only that, but Drew Brees is a monster.
Yeah, he is.
He is a monster. And right now, the line says that the Saints are the underdog. I got the Saints winning that game. I think between Pierre Thomas coming back and Mike Bell playing the way he's playing, Reggie Bush getting another week where he's, you know, kind of healed himself a little bit, and that offense is just clicking on all cylinders, I don't think the Eagles can compete in his shootout with the Saints.
We'll see. My game is Baltimore at San Diego. San Diego didn't really show me a lot. Again, I know it's only week one, but I think Baltimore goes out to San Diego, God's country, as it were, and hands a big L to the Chargers. And that's going to wrap up this edition of Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com. This was a pretty long one. Thanks for getting through it with us. But there was a lot to talk about. A lot going on in the world of sports. We will be back next week for another edition of Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com. Until then, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Log on to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web. Come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Sheeran.